I'm Lee, compulsive overeater. Man, if this is your first time to OA or to this particular Footsteps meeting, we just welcome you. We're so glad that you're here. This particular meeting is every day, and it's how I start my day every morning, 6 a.m. my time. It's a gift that I have give to myself, just to get to see all of your beautiful faces and listen to your experience, strength, and hope upon awakening. And it also helps set my intention for recovery for the day. Little bit of backstory about myself. I've come to realize I've always had food issues my whole life. I have memories of stealing food from the kitchen, stealing food from stores when I was a kid. Bulimia started in high school, had that in high school through mid-20s at some point, sporadically here and there. But I was height weight proportionate throughout my 20s, but I had terrible body dysmorphia. Looking back, I just to reconcile my brain with what I thought I was versus what I actually was. It was definitely a process of coming to terms with that. I stopped through willpower bulimia in my mid-20s, but that shifted over to the diet spin cycle, right? Like, go on a diet, lose the weight, go off the diet, gain the weight, gain more weight, right? And then just repeat for the next 30 years. In about 2019 or 2020, I don't quite recall exactly when it was, I went on what I call my last diet. It was one of those pre-packaged plans that had those little meals that you would eat throughout the day kind of thing. And literally one day I held a package and just this moment of clarity just came through me going, it's not about the food. Like, it's not about the food. And I literally could not open up one more package. I was just like, and so I actually had to gift it. I gifted it all to somebody, a friend of mine who was also doing that plan. But then I was like stuck because I'm like, okay, now what? Now what do I do? And the whole idea of counseling to me was like embarrassing. Like, I should be able to figure this stuff out. I'm a smart person. I had accumulated a wealth of knowledge about diet, nutrition, all of that. And I was just full of guilt, full of shame, complete frustration, but paralyzed. I didn't know what else to do. I knew about OA. Like a little bit, just kind of hearing about it, but I had a very, very small image of what I thought a compulsive overeater was. And because I personally didn't fit that very small little image of what it was, I was like, oh, well, this isn't for me. I also had the erroneous assumption that one had to be a certain weight to be able to join OA, which of course is not true. So that just was not even a consideration for me at that time. Then in early 2021, the compulsive behaviors really took hold. Mental obsession, waking up first thing in the morning, thought about food, food, food. What am I going to get? How am I going to get it? And that was just a mental obsession all through the day. I decided to go out. I would go run errands, right? Excuses to go run errands to be able to go and pick up my alcoholic foods. I was in charge of our finances, and I started hiding my food expenditures under different things that my husband wouldn't question. So, like, he'd question restaurants, he'd question food, but he wouldn't question like my personal kind of thing. So I started getting very deceptive of how I was doing this. Dishonest. I had two teen boys at the time. I would take them out to fast food restaurants. And then I would tell them to lie to their dad because they just wouldn't, he wouldn't understand. I started hiding food in my car, hiding in the garage, hiding food in my closet. And then I got to this point where the only time I felt comfort was when I was uncomfortably full. Like, I had to be stuffed to the gills to actually feel comfort. And when I digested my food enough to where I wasn't uncomfortably full, like, I had to get back into that state again. So the only way that I felt good was feeling miserable. It was very common for me to end up going and picking up, going through a drive-through and then coming back knowing that I had My husband had a lovely, lovely dinner waiting for me at home, and I had to pretend to enjoy what he created for me. No, but even though I was incredibly uncomfortably full. During that time frame, those few months, I gained a lot of weight in a short amount of time. I gained like 22 pounds in 12 weeks. And my gait shifted. I felt really uncomfortable in my skin. And I just didn't recognize who I was. And I was scared. So a friend of mine was texting me. It was kind of that quick catching up with you. How are you doing kind of thing? And I was just touching on, how are you doing? How's life? What's going on? And she kind of shared with me. She's like, I don't know what's going on, but I cannot stay out of the pantry. Like I am just snacking like crazy. And I don't know what's going on. And anyway, her transparency, her vulnerability and sharing with me created the opportunity for me to then open up and share my struggles with her. So we decided to become kind of accountability partners for each other, send our food to each other, send our exercise together. She had shared that she had listened to a couple of the OA Los Angeles podcasts that she really was interested in and felt she got some good information from that. But neither one of us wanted to join OA. And so we're like, okay, well, let's just do this together. This could be our own thing. Looking back, I realized like that's just, you know, us trying to control it on our own terms, our own self-will running riot, like, you know, instead of just doing it as it's supposed to be done. At some point, I want to say maybe, I don't know, a week or two of us doing our thing, curiosity got the better of me. And I ended up going into one of the Zoom meetings, you know, which, you know, thank God for these Zoom meetings, right? Like just such a gift that we actually have that. I was sitting in that first Zoom meeting, camera off, you know, muted, and I'm just sitting back and I'm just listening and all of these pieces start coming together. And I'm sitting in shock as I'm hearing you all tell my story. While I'm sitting there, I hear, I recall that movie, When Harry Met Sally. And there's this one scene at the very end where Harry declares his love for Sally. And he says to her, he goes, I came here tonight because when you realize you want to spend the rest of your life with somebody, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible. And my body, I processed that as in terms of OA, I came here tonight because when you realize you want to spend the rest of your life free from the bondage of compulsive overeating, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible. And that very day, I took a deep dive into OA. I attended 2 to 3 meetings a day because if I wasn't in these meetings, I was in the food. That the time in the meetings gave me that reprieve from that mental obsession. It gave me a little bit of experience, strength, and hope, something that I can get a foothold on. I got a sponsor, beautiful, precious, wonderful sponsor who walked me through the steps. She used the Big Book primarily, but then also peppered with other readings, recordings, videos, writing assignments. She encouraged that I attend 30 meetings in 30 days. I ended up doing 90 meetings in 90 days because the meetings had become my lifeline. I could feel and I could tell that this compulsive energy that was wrapped around my disease, it transferred from the food into pursuing recovery and Overeaters Anonymous. And I was totally okay with that. Early in the program, I would experience a lot of anxiety over the anticipation of working certain steps. I was afraid of not doing it right. I was afraid of releasing the emotional kraken that could come from it. And I just did not have trust in myself, in my higher power, or in the program. But my sponsor just gave me some great advice. She's just like, stay in your lane. You are in step, whatever step this was where I was expressing anxiety, you are in step, say step 2. It's like, just that's where you are. You don't look at step 3. You don't look at step 4. You don't look at step 9. You just stay in the step that you're in and focus on being in that one step. And then what I came to learn is that each step layers upon each step. And so when I am in step 2, it's preparing me for step 3. When I'm in step 3, it's preparing me for step 4. So by the time I was ready to go into those steps, I was ready for that step. In OA, we learned that our recovery comes to us through the principles of the program, not through personalities. So my remaining time here, I think I'm going to focus on the 12 principles of OA. We've got our 12 steps. We've got our 12 traditions. We've got our 12 principles. The first principle is honesty. Through this program, I learned that truth is always the same, but honesty changes with my awareness. In this disease, I lied to myself and I lied to others. I learned the difference between wishful fantasy thinking and honest thinking. Where did I put more of my energy? In the fantasy of the way I wanted things to be, or into the way things were? Principle of hope. When I'm in these meetings, I hear my own story over and over again, and I realize that I'm not alone. I see those who are recovered or recovering, and I have hope. The principle of faith. So early in the program, I had to put my faith in others when they say, keep coming back. It works if you work it, and you are worth it, and trust the program. I had no faith in myself. I thought I had faith in my higher power, but my actions would say otherwise. Working steps 2 and 3, I had to take my faith down to the studs of what I knew and what I thought I knew about higher power. And I took it down to 2 things that I knew for absolute certainty. Like, what do I know for absolute certainty? And the 2 things I knew for absolute certain was I knew that there was a God, and I knew that I'm not it. I had a vision one time, working in this meditation vision, where I was sitting and my higher power was sitting in a garden, and I was this little girl that, and around my higher power were all of these different hummingbirds, and they're just darting to and fro. And there is this vision of me as a little girl, probably about two, three years old. And I'm running up to my higher power, touching my higher power's knee, and then running away, coming back, running, total joy, total glee, but just touch, running away. And just this awareness that I was like this little hummingbird, just darting to and fro, but not settling down enough to be able to just sit and just be at peace and just sit with my higher power. So now I'm learning how to just sit, and it's a discipline, but through working these steps and using the tools of OA, I am able to sit longer with my higher power. The principle of courage. Before program, security and comfort were my absolute idols. I would do whatever it took to avoid conflict, to avoid feelings, both the positive and the negative. And that meant stuffing them down with food and binge watching TV, social media, game apps, anything to escape from feeling the feelings. And I used to, that in my mind, that was a source of pride, how balanced, how even keeled I was, how I was able to keep it all mellow. But really what it was just this mask of just layering and keeping myself from feeling the good and the bad. So fear is what brought me into OA, but it was courage and hope that kept me coming back. The principle of integrity. Coming into program, I became aware of how much of a people pleaser I was and how much daily stress I suffered under that in trying to live out everyone else's expectations, desires, beliefs, and opinions of me. I was an emotional chameleon. So is it any wonder that I became a compulsive overeater? This is a pattern that I still have to work with daily and have to be diligent about working on, as it comes back easily if I'm not working the steps and using the tools of recovery. Through the 12 steps, I have come to learn the core values that I choose to embrace and defend as my own, and to be a person of my word for myself and others to trust that word. Willingness to be willing to give up my old toxic beliefs that I hold on as true. To be willing to put down the food and pick up the steps. To pray for willingness to work the steps, even when I was afraid or confused. To be willing to trust my higher power and the OA program to take me from bondage to freedom, a freedom that not only positively affects my food choices, but also all other aspects in my life as well. Humility. I learned humility the hard way, but don't we all? This is when I got cocky, started cutting back on using the daily tools, working the steps, depending on my higher power. I went back to self-will run riot, and I ended up relapsing. I don't have a before-after shot to share because I had regained almost all of the weight that I had lost before the relapse. I'm almost lost all of that weight that I had regained now, and I'm very grateful. While in relapse, one part of me was humiliated, embarrassed, and ashamed. But another part of me was grateful and hopeful, knowing that I could go back into OA anytime and pick back up. Even though at the time I was not using those tools, I knew that there were tools that could be used. And just the knowing that there was an option, I did not feel as helpless and hopeless and lost as I did before coming into OA the first time. I finally made my way back, started working the steps again, and I'm very grateful for the lessons that I had learned during relapse. And the main lesson that I learned was that I learned the value of my abstinence and that it's something that I will protect and treasure to a greater degree than what I did the first time. Upon awakening, I know that I am an untreated compulsive overeater every single morning, and I have to pick up the tools and use them each day within the 12 steps. Self-discipline. In the big book, page 88, it says it works. It really does. We alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. The daily discipline of using the tools to regularly review where I am weak, where I am strong, and to adjust accordingly as I become more aware and ready to go deeper in recovery, to regularly assess character deficits and do the work to surrender them to my higher power so that he can transform them to character assets. Love. Emotional growth often begins the moment we walk in the OA door. We come to learn to trust and love from our higher power. We come to learn to accept and love others without strings or expectations. Perseverance, not giving up, staying with it, doing something difficult, despite difficulty or delay. This program is simple, but it's not easy. Suffering under compulsive overeating is hard. Working the 12 steps is hard, but I need to pick my heart. So for today, I'm going to pick the 12 steps. Spiritual awareness. I learned that I cannot control the surrender process. I can only be willing to show up and do the step work according to my awareness that I have at the time. This is why this is a lifelong journey and it's not a diet. As my spiritual awareness increases, the gifts of recovery increase, which then leads to more spiritual awareness, which then leads to more gifts and blessings of recovery. I'm so grateful that I am not the person I was last year, and I am hopeful that I will not be the same person I am this time next year. Service. I had nothing to offer coming into this program in terms of service. After a while, my service became just turning on the video so that others could see me in the meeting. Then occasionally I would volunteer to read or serve as timekeeper. Then I had a small amount of experience, strength, and hope that I could offer to others as I was in recovery. Then I started able to reach out by text to a newcomer and tell them to keep coming. What initially to me was an overwhelming burden has become the greatest gift by sponsoring others, making outreach calls, and offering support in daily meetings. Working the 12 steps filled my depleted cup, and I now serve in the overflow as my higher power sees fit, and for that I am eternally grateful. So I will leave you with this. This is a writing that I did a little while ago. It says, plan the action, not the result. Focus on recovery, lose the weight. Focus on weight, lose the recovery. When I focus on recovery, I use the tool of the action plan and keep a list of recovery-oriented actions that I do every day to keep my mind and emotions in a healthy space. It's not just the thinking about doing these things, it's the doing of these things every day. If I focus on the weight, I dovetail into depression, guilt, anger, and resentment over myself and others. Then I spiral into binging or restricting, and if I manage to keep out of the food through willpower, the battlefield of the mind reigns for that day. I'm tired of that battle. I tap out and focus on the principles of this program, trusting my higher power to the results. In this, I find serenity for today. And that is my share, lovelies. Thank you for letting me share.